Welcome to the We Are The Church podcast, hosted by me, Adam, and my beautiful wife, Brianna. Throughout the podcast, you'll hear and experience people's stories of faith in action to encourage, strengthen, and inspire you.
Hear the real-life stories of people from Guymere Baptist Church and our local community. There will be a few laughs, serious chats, and amazing encounters with God through the love and hope of Jesus Christ. We pray that this podcast reaches you on a deep level and encourages you on your own journey of discovery and faith.
Tonight, we have my beautiful wife, Brianna, with us.
Hello, everybody, and welcome.
And of course, we've got Jan and Gary Speckman with us tonight. How are we, guys?
Good, thanks.
Good to be here. Thanks for inviting us.
No worries. And honey, I think you can ask the first question.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And I just want to echo Adam's sentiments. It's so wonderful to have you both here on the We Are The Church podcast. And I can't wait to hear where God's been at work in your lives. So I guess a good place to start is, you know, could each of you take a few moments and just tell us something, a couple of things about yourselves. Jan, do you want to start?
Well, where do we begin? Obviously, you can tell from our accents that we are not originally from Australia.
Yeah, I had a little accent there.
Something going on.
So I was born and raised in Arizona in the U.S. Mm-hmm. and met Gary there, and we kind of started our adventure when we met through Campus Crusade for Christ, both as students, and Gary was a student leader. And just our relationship started and our ministry actually started from that point.
Oh, nice.
Amazing. And what about you, Gary?
Yeah, I was picking up from that. We were going into summer break at university, and I didn't really know Jan that well at that point. I remember the first time I met her, the first night I met her, because I met three Jans that night. And I don't remember if she was first, second, or third.
Definitely first, I would have to say.
First all the way.
She came out first. Because we were just going into summer, and as the student leader, one of my jobs was to set up a summer program, social program. We went out to South Mountain, which is a desert park in Phoenix, mm-hmm. for an event night, games night. And I had this bright idea because we'd done it before of playing couples baseball.
Uh-huh. Oh,
and
right.
So you still have your diamond and everything like baseball, but you have to hold hands with your partner the whole time, except when batting. So you could bat, but then you had to grab your partner's hand as you were running to first base and run around the bases to get home.
Oh, that's cool.
And so we paired everybody. It's a good mixer because you can let people pair themselves off, and then if that doesn't work, you just have all the girls on that side and all the guys on that side. You just pair them.
Yep. Mm. One, two. Yeah.
So I was leading it. So I got everybody all paired off, and there were about 20 women left all standing there by themselves in a line. And I didn't have a partner yet. So I just scanned down the line and found the most beautiful one there and asked Jan to be my partner.
Uh-huh.
And so we went to, batted all right. Catching is kind of difficult because you have to hold hands, but you can
each
have to put a hand up to catch the ball. but Jan said later it was like she felt like she was being dragged along the whole time because I'm a bit of a competitor. So once I hit it and grabbed her hand,
we're going.
Hang on.
Line.
And you're a tall man compared to Jan as well.
I'm sure. I think we actually made it all the way around, didn't we?
We scored.
Oh, nice. Well done.
Good team.
Yeah, it's all right, from the get-go.
Scoring ever since.
Nice.
I love that. And so, Gary, were you also born and bred in Arizona?
No, my father was U.S. Air Force. So every two or three years, we'd move to a different location. He'd be posted to a different assignment. The longest I ever lived any place in my life was in Idaho, and that was only 9 years, very early in life.
Mm-hmm.
And then lived in Alabama, which was a whole different culture, Texas, where I became a Christian, Arizona, where I went to university. And then when we married, we got assigned to San Diego, California. And then we decided after about 5 years that we wanted to have an international assignment with Campus Crusade for Christ.
Oh,
we didn't have any place in mind. And we had waited too long, and I was filling out the form requesting an international assignment at our Christmas conference because I could hand it into the office the next day and beat the deadline by January 1st.
Oh, good one.
Anyway, I was filling out the form, and a friend of mine, whom I had a tremendous regard for, was a regional director for Northern California, was sitting right behind me, and he saw me filling out the form. And he knew what it was because he'd filled one out himself months earlier.
Yep.
So as soon as the meeting was over, he tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Are you interested in international assignment?" I said, "We sure are." And he said, "Why don't you come to Australia with us and start the campus ministry in Australia?" And the way I tell it, Jan says it wasn't really true, but the way I like to tell the joke is I thought he said Australia, and I said, "Well, I like lederhosen and yodeling, so yeah, we'd like to go to Australia."
Austria.
He thought, yeah, Austria. But,
Australia was really...
It's kangaroos instead, mate.
As we thought about it more, the thing that propelled our decision was we wouldn't have to learn a new language, or we didn't think we would.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so we came with our friends, Bill and Margaret Hansel. And Bill's, do you want to pick up on that?
Well, when we came was the end of 1974,
mm-hmm.
and we were helping to start a campus ministry called, at that time was called Student Life, which was, yeah, was involved with Campus Crusade for Christ Australia.
Amazing.
So we helped Bill and Margaret and some other Australians and staff and students start the campus ministry here. So that was our introduction to ministry in Australia.
Amazing. And was that Sydney-based to start?
It was.
Uh-huh.
Oh, cool.
We actually had sent everything we owned that was worth anything in four barrels, 55-gallon drums, and it had been stenciled for Melbourne, and we're shipping it off, and we made the decision to come to Sydney quite late in the game. So we called them and said, "Can you re-stencil the drums to Sydney and take it there instead?" And they said, "Sure, for little bit of extra moolah."
Yeah.
So I'm glad we did that. It was really wise for us to come because Bill and Margaret were starting work at Sydney Uni and we could start at New South Wales. So we had our independence in the sense of leading our own ministry, but we were together weekly for meetings. And Bill had said, "Look, why don't you come to Australia with us for 5 years? We'll start the ministry there. We'd like to move from American staff to Australian staff.
Mm-hmm.
We should be able to recruit enough Australians to take our place in 5 years." So we did, and at the end of 5 years, we'd gone from five staff who were 80% American and one Australian to almost 50 staff who were 90% Australian.
Oh, cool.
5 years. So it was
that's some serious growth. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
And I had two people I could choose from as far as asking them to take over my role as a national director, because Bill, after 5 years, Bill left. He said, "Let's go for 5 years," and he meant it.
He meant it. he was gone.
He headed back to the States.
So, but we were having fun, and we decided to stay another. Well, we didn't decide on how much, but we decided to stay, and we were here another 5 years. And at the time, we were attending at Gaimea Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to live across the river, but we liked the church here.
Nice.
And the first couple of years. And then we moved over to Blakehurst Baptist because we started renting our house from them. They had two manses and they only needed one. So they rented a house to us for a very good price. And
that's kind.
And we built relationships with people at Blakehurst. And then further on in the story, I'll tell you why that's important. But we liked the church, we liked the people, but after 10 years, we decided we were ready to go back. We'd
to the U.S.
done what we came to do, so we moved back to the States for
And what year was that?
85 or 86.
Yeah, 85.
Okay, so it had been 12 years, 10, 12?
Well, I say 10 and a half, because I figure how much time we've actually been in Australia is that 10 years plus, and then when we returned 6 years later, that was in 90,
early in 90s. When we,
yeah. Anyway, we've been here over 30 years since then. So
yeah, cool. Awesome.
10 plus 20 is over 30 years.
Yeah. What were some of your first impressions when you came to Australia?
Yeah. Well, of the culture and stuff.
Yeah, how about you, honeymoon?
Well, we were just off the boat, really, except it was an airplane with an 18-month-old. Mm. And, you know, I think it was just a stage of our life where we were adventurous.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had already said, yes, we're going, and yes, we want to take this challenge.
Yep.
And, of course, everybody was just so lovely. And, you know, it was just a matter of kind of adjusting to some new things as a young couple with a little one. So,
yeah.
I remember one funny story, though, is our director at the time picked us up from the airport. And we were going to his place. He was going to put us up for the night and help us find accommodation. And we were going through that and through up towards
the
Eleanor Heights.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he said, oh, look out the window, you know, like all the trees and everything. That, oh, look at that, it's the Australian bush. And I go, those are trees. That's not a bush.
Oh, yes, the difference.
Oh, yeah, yes, the lingo. Right.
And so that really is a good point. It was kind of some of the language difference, terminology.
Don't worry. Being a New Zealander, I've come across that too. There's a lot of different scenarios.
That was kind of fun.
So, awesome. Yeah.
Funny story because when I we get to the airport and it's gradually thinning out and nobody's left there except Jen, I, and little 18-month-old Jeremy wandering around in the airport. And I finally called director Jeff. I didn't have his phone number. I knew his name, but I didn't know that Jeff was spelled with a G instead of a J.
The American spelling of Jeff, yes.
Jeffrey Fletcher. Mm-hmm. And I finally found one, and I didn't even know what suburb it was. And I found a number. I just started calling through, and I think it was probably the first or second number.
Wow.
I reached him and said, is that Jeff Fletcher? Yes, it is. Who's this? And I said, Gary Speckman. And he said, who's that? And I said, well, we're the new staff couple that are coming over to help start the campus ministry in Australia. Oh, Gary, what are you doing here? And I said, well, you know, don't they ever let people know ahead of time that you're coming?
Yeah, yeah.
Know we were coming.
We're not coming. We're here.
That's right.
Where are you? I said, we're at the airport. He said, I'm over at least an hour away, but it's going to take longer because I got to finish the cricket game. The cricket match is on right now.
Oh, my gosh. Cricket. Aussies love the cricket.
Exactly. So he came and picked us up, and Jeremy and Jeff hit it off right off. Jeff's like a big grandfather. So we felt welcome. And
awesome.
They put us up at a hotel overnight in DY. And one of the things I thought was funny there is we changed our currency at the airport.
Mm.
And we went out. We were going to go down to the beach. And so we're throwing everything on the bed. And we're about to leave. And Jan said, don't you think you should cover the money up? And I said, well, because it was just laying on the bed. And I said, just looked like Monopoly money.
Oh, yeah,
Why are we concerned about that?
It's legit money. It's actually money that we need to look after.
Did you do the cliche under the mattress thing? Don't tell us
because
it's okay.
I know, because your money would have been all green and the money here is probably
green. Green and moldy. Yeah.
And
what little there was of it. Yeah.
And then there's different coloured money here. Yeah, for sure.
Wow, how amazing. And 30 years later and here you are.
I can tell the difference between the money and...
Hey, Jan, so what's something people might not know about you?
What they might not know is, I guess, some of the things that I've been involved with.
Mm-hmm.
I think Gary and I both do like coaching and mentoring, and I have a counseling background.
Okay. Yep.
So kind of jumped into all those. I like working with people.
Yeah, nice.
And I like coming alongside people and just working through whatever they want to work through. And so those are areas that I like to work in.
Yeah, nice.
I've done some women's ministry as well.
Cool.
So that's the main thing I can think of right now. I'll jump in if I can think of something.
Yeah.
Well, you're leading the Significant Woman Project for a couple of years.
Yeah.
A branch of Campus Crusade.
Yeah, like a project coordinator.
Okay.
Or a women's resource.
Yeah, cool. That's great.
And Jen did a, when we went back after our first 10 years here, when we went back, the logical place to go was for further education. So Campus Crusade for Christ had its own international school of theology.
Nice.
In San Bernardino. So that's where he moved. And I did a course in biblical counseling. And that was enriching. I really enjoyed that course. But I noticed Jan had a real interest in counseling as well. And so when we came back to Australia, Jan started doing a course at what was...
Well, it's it was Wesley Mission's course at the time. It it's changed name. But yeah, they had a counseling program, a counseling diploma. I did a graduate diploma in counseling with Wesley Mission.
Oh, nice. So. That's cool.
She was able to get some work at... there was a counseling center in near Westfield, and Jan counseled there for 3 or 4 years, and then I applied and got accepted, and then I was counseling there. So we were both counseling at the same center.
Oh, that's wonderful.
For about 3 or 4
years. 3 years.
And then when Hopefield, or Southern Community Welfare, started up here, Jan shifted from the original center to...
Southern Community Welfare. So I worked for 8 years with Southern Community Welfare.
Good one.
Oh, that's beautiful. And, you know, I'm just imagining how many people's lives you're able to touch and help over
so
those
many.
Years.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
What a lovely legacy, eh? Yeah, it's great.
So, Gary, is there a particular book that's influenced you in your faith journey?
Other than the Bible, I would assume.
Other than the book.
I really liked a book by Henry Cloud called, what was the name?
Changes That Heal.
Changes That Heal.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of a counseling book, but also a book on laying out development, human development.
Oh, cool.
In 4 different stages. And I've always been interested in human development. So I like that book. I still quote from it. And I actually was able to do a co-therapy session with Henry when I was in California.
That's cool.
Can't go into too many details because of confidentiality, but
he was
working with one of our staff women who was having some pretty significant issues. Mm-hmm. And I didn't meet with the two of them, but I met with him and we talked about her issues, which were kind of related to her husband. And so Henry asked if I would just get to know him. So we went out to Mexican food together and had a chat. And then he invited me to his home a couple of lunches and coffee times. Mm. And after about 10 minutes in his house, I started feeling really something weird here. Mm. And I couldn't identify what it was, but after I left, thought and prayed about it some more, and it hit me what the problem was. And I think the problem was not so much, in my opinion, I'm not that qualified counselor at the time, but I felt the problem had more to do with him than with her. And I shared that with Henry, and he said, well, this is the hardest case I've ever worked on. So thank you for sharing that with me. And he went ahead and counseled with her. She was hospitalized at the time. Yeah. And then a couple years later, Henry came and spoke in Sydney. And I went down to see him. And I didn't even know if he'd remember me. But I asked, I said, I know you can't give me details, but how did that turn out with that couple? And he said, really well. It turned out fine. You're on the right track. And that really helped me to get this thing nailed for her. So that was cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
That's great that God revealed that too and was able to restore that relationship, which is lovely.
Well, I'm convinced, I might share it later, but I'm convinced that a big part of ministering to others, missioning to others, is being aware of what's going on around you and in their life and being sensitive
to
them and what their needs are and offering to pray for them, which is relatively simple. You don't have to have a huge evangelistic bridge. You just ask people, what can I pray for you? And a lot of times that'll open the door to spiritual discussion.
Yeah, that's really good. And Jen, has there been a particular book or a series that's influenced you in your faith journey?
I was thinking recently about in my younger Christian life, I read some books by Catherine Marshall.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if you're, I mean, you know, that's been a while back. But, yeah, just some of the books that I read from her really impressed me about dealing with issues, some of the serious issues. She wrote a book called Beyond Yourself. Mm-hmm. And it was really dealing about issues around grief and dealing with grief and loss and things. So that really impacted me in my younger life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. And I mean, things like books, they kind of transcend time often, and mm-hmm. the techniques and the things that are shared through those resources can still be as relevant today as they were yesterday, as they are 20, 30 years from now even. Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
I was reading something the other day that said if you have a book in your past that you really enjoyed and you haven't read it for 10 years, it'd be good for you to go back and revisit it.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Because he says the book hasn't changed. It's still going to be the same words now that were then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you've changed.
Yeah, you're so further down the path, right?
That's a good point. Yeah, you've changed. Life. Yeah.
And I haven't done that yet with Lord of the Rings. I've read that three times.
That is a classic.
It is a good one. It is a good one. So when did you guys become Christians? Maybe Jan, you go first. When was your...
She did go first.
Well, I became a Christian when I was about, I'd say about 6 years old.
Oh, wonderful.
And, cool. You know, for those who are involved with kids ministry, I'm one of the products of kids ministry.
Oh, that's great.
So it was like a neighborhood kids club.
Mm-hmm.
And back in those days, you could do that.
Yep.
So my next door neighbor had a little Bible club for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I went along and, you know, just heard the stories and heard about Jesus and was just asked the question, you know, would you like to have Jesus in your life?
Yeah.
And I said yes at about 6 years old.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So later on began to go to church with my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And she went to a Baptist church. And so that's where a lot of my growth, my early growth took place.
Mm.
But that's how I got started.
Oh, wonderful. What about you, Gary?
My dad was Air Force, and we would go to a chapel on the base, which is non-denominational. Mm. So I didn't have any strong theological inclination, but we went every week, and I felt I was a Christian. I wasn't Buddhist or Jewish. I wasn't going to a Catholic chapel. So anyway, I got an offer for a job at a summer camp in Texas, in the panhandle of Texas, called Hidden Falls Ranch. And it was a Christian camp, but I'm Christian. I'm going to church every year, every week. And so I applied, and they accepted me because I'd had previous camping experience the summer before I'd worked for a Girl Scout camp,
mm-hmm. okay.
which was a huge, great job for a 17-year-old male.
But, yeah.
So they hired me. And later the boss told me, I didn't really think your story kind of matched up, but because of your experience in camping, we took you on staff. I was supposed to teach the Bible and rifle. Mm. And I didn't know much about either, so when the kids were out shooting the rifle, I was studying my Bible. Well, they were in at Bible X, I was out practicing with the rifle. Nobody got shot, but the word hit home to me. It didn't take me maybe 2 weeks to realize in that environment that I didn't know what these people were talking about.
Mm,
I didn't. Mm. I was a Christian, but I didn't know Jesus.
Mm.
Mm, and I asked a good friend of mine from high school who helped me get the job, how do I become a Christian? And he got out his Thompson Chain Reference Bible, and we sat down one afternoon for about 3 hours. And I thought he went through every verse in the Bible, just not in order, you know, just flipping back and forth. And he said, so what do you think? And I said, yeah, that's great. That's what I want. How do I do it? And he couldn't clinch it. He couldn't tell me how to actually surrender to Christ and how to make a decision for Jesus. And so I said, look, I don't think this is helping. I need a break. So I went and sat down on the back porch of the dining hall for about 2 or 3 hours, just kind of miserable. Mm. And realized that I didn't really know what this was about. So I got some of my junior counselors that night in one of the cabins and said, look, I want to become a Christian. How do I do that? And nobody knew how to tell me how. Oh. One guy said, let me go get Dave. He knows all the Bible verses. And I said, no, I talked with Dave this morning. I just need to know what I need to do.
Yeah.
And finally, I was 18 at the time, and there was a 14-year-old junior counselor who said, well, do you believe in God and Jesus and that Jesus died for your sins and that you need to ask him to come into your life? And I said, yes. He said, who have you told that? And I said, well, I told Dave this afternoon, and I'm telling you guys now. And he is still crystal clear. He said, have you ever told God that you believe in him and that you want him to become a part of your life? And I thought about that, and I said, you know, if I have done that, it didn't have a significant enough influence that I can remember it.
Yeah. Mm.
So I don't think I have. And it struck me that, well, that's the next step then.
Yeah. Mm.
So I got down on my knees on this little cot and almost tore the mattress in shreds. I was so frustrated. I said, okay, God, if that's what it takes, I believe in you. I believe in Jesus. I believe he died for my sins. That's a new thought, but I believe it. Mm-hmm. And I want you to come into my life right now.
Oh, awesome.
Expecting something to happen, and it didn't really at that point.
No lightning bolts.
Actually, no thunder. Was lightning, but that's the expanded story. There was thunder.
No angels.
No angel. Well, the angels were probably there, but I didn't see them.
Yeah.
Didn't see them.
Yeah.
Anyway, the campus, perfect environment for a young male to make a decision because I grew up then. I had 8 weeks in that environment where not only was I not criticized, but I was actually encouraged to share my faith with others.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's good.
The next night, my junior counselor came into me and said, how can I be? I heard you became a Christian last night. I said, I don't know about that. I know I said a prayer and asked Jesus into my life. He said, do you think that would work for me? And I said, gee, I don't even know if that worked for me. He said, can we try it? And I said, well, you can. He said, what did you pray? So I told him my prayer, and he said, could I pray that prayer? And I said, yeah, go for it. So he got down on his knees and he prayed that prayer. And so from the very beginning of my Christian life, I discovered this is not that difficult. I just have to share what's been true of me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't have to come up with all the answers and everything. So, and then I had 8 weeks as a senior counselor where I gave cabin devotions every night and basically shared the gospel again with all my campers.
Awesome.
Night.
That's so good.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And I was 65.
Amazing. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because for people listening in, you know, some people might have had lightning bolts. Some people might have had these amazing, you know, angels turning up or really feeling that tangible presence of God. And for others, it could have been just that beautiful, gentle moment where it's a change just, right. You know, in your heart, in that moment. And thinking, is this it, God? Like, is this it? But knowing, you know, just knowing deep within you that that was your moment.
Yeah.
Well, I ran out of the cabin. There was lightning because there was thunderstorm. We're in the middle of thunderstorm. And I ran out of the cabin and up the toilet block and fell on my face in the mud and laid there in the mud just crying. Mm. And later I said, why was I crying? And I said, I've done everything that I know to do.
Mm. Mm.
I really want this, but if that didn't take, where do I go next? So crying in frustration.
Yeah.
God just gently over the next couple of weeks gave me the conviction that, well, it's not up to me and the words I said and how well I said them. It was his work.
Yes.
And so awesome. I was getting Bible instruction every day, getting reinforcement from other Christians on the staff team. They're still some of my best friends.
Oh, that's cool.
56 years later.
Fantastic. Awesome. Fantastic. Lovely. Well, that was so amazing, you know, just thinking back where you first became Christians, and we've heard a little bit already about, you know, how you met and how you started your ministry life together as a young family. Maybe if we just bring it forward to a bit more current, are you both serving here at Guymyer Baptist Church at the moment or perhaps somewhere else in our local community? And if you are, what does that look like? Jen, do you want to go first?
I've been involved with the Playtime ministry here at the church, I think, for about 10 years now.
Oh, cool.
And so the number of things that I've done have been like playtime, women's ministry, mm-hmm. Life group leader, like I said, counseling and mentoring, those kinds of things. So, sorry, what was the other part of that?
The other part, maybe we'll jump into the second part of that question.
Okay.
But we'll, let's jump to Gary. Okay. And Gary, is there any way at Gaimea Baptist that you're currently serving?
Currently, kind of an unofficial mentor. I like to pick up on guys, and I don't usually offer to be a mentor because I think that needs to come from them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They need to ask me, and but I'm praying for people, and I've got four or five now that I have worked with in the last 10 years.
Oh, cool.
But I was an elder for a couple of years when Carl was pastor, and then on the church leadership team for a couple of years, and currently life group leader. Oh, I share a life group with Paul Sheaf.
Oh, yeah, he's a legend.
Yeah, shout out to Paul.
Shout out to Paul Sheaf.
Yeah.
Champion.
Fantastic. Amazing. And I guess if anyone was looking for a possible mentor.
Yeah. Shout out to Gary. If you need, if you want to, yeah, come to Gary and he'll mentor you.
If you'll ask me, I don't have to go look.
And definitely pray into it.
Yeah. Pray into
it. Usually I say if somebody asks me, I say, well, let's get together for a cup of coffee and talk about it because number one, you need to know what I mean when I say mentoring, because it's probably not what you think it is. If you're willing to commit to that, then yeah.
Can I just mention too that Gary has been a chaplain for a number of years too, sports chaplain.
Ah,
yeah, I noticed the shirt you're wearing, SCA, Sports Chaplain Australia.
Australia.
Yeah. Awesome.
So he has a lot. He actually has quite a history with Sports Chaplaincy Australia.
Yeah, oh, that's fantastic! Great.
What does that look like? How does that work?
Mm.
Well, it started as I was mentoring a local doctor from Sydney. Sports doctor.
Yeah.
And he asked me one time if I would, he said, well, he was actually the doctor for the Wallabies.
Oh, wow.
And their tour that they won years ago when they won the cup. Mm-hmm. And they came back from the tour and John was at the meeting and they said, we're top of the heap. We've got plenty of money. What can we do to improve our program? We're going around the circle. Everybody has to contribute. So when it came to John, he just said, well, I'm just a doctor. I don't have anything to suggest. And he said, everybody has to contribute. So he said, well, you know, I think it would help us if we had chaplains available on our teams, because at the time there weren't any in professional rugby. And it would help if we had somebody who could do pastoral care for spinal injury players.
Mm.
And and they picked up on that. And so John came to me a couple of months later and said, we've got a secured position with the Waratahs as a chaplain.
Cool.
And they're interested in somebody writing up a job description for a case manager for spinal injury players. Would you be interested in that? And I said, yes, I would.
Oh,
so I did my homework and presented a case to them, and they accepted it and asked me if I would assume that role. And
that's
I did
awesome.
It for about 15 years, I guess.
Wow, good on you, mate.
I have a number of people that I've worked with, players.
Mm.
They're real heroes, in my opinion, because
they go through a lot.
Life has changed in a matter of seconds.
Mm. Yeah.
Direction of their life, sometimes their marriage has changed, their life changes.
Yeah.
I
think they really need some
They do need guidance, some guidance, some yeah, mentoring. For sure.
So that was a good gig. And
you miss it, don't you? I can tell. You miss it.
Yes and no. I had a stroke 8 years ago.
Okay.
Which it wasn't really debilitating, but it sapped my energy.
Sure.
And made it hard to get to the venue.
Okay.
The training venue, because I wasn't driving. So I'd have to take public transport and then walk about a kilometer from the train to the venue and then back after the training was over. And it was just getting very tiring.
Sure.
And without going into all the details, it just became obvious to me that it's time to leave that. After I was with the Waratahs for 10 or 12 years, and at the same time with the Sydney Kings for 15 years.
Mm. Kings as well. And, cool. Yeah. That's great.
At one point he was doing both.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Chaplain for both.
One day basketball, one day rugby.
Yeah, nice.
And had some great experiences, developed some great friendships.
Yeah.
Found it was, I mean, for me, being involved with student life and Campus Crusade for Christ, part of our ethos organizationally is evangelism. Mm. So I didn't want to do a job that didn't give me the freedom to share my faith with people. So from the very beginning, I just, when I'd interview with them, I'd tell them, this is what I'd like to do. And sometimes people need more than just rugby or basketball. Sometimes they need a relationship with God. And I'd like the freedom to be able to talk about that with them. And at a Christmas party a couple of years later, I met the guy who did that interview with me. And he was laughing and saying, man, when we first interviewed, I thought you were going to be doing God talk all the time. He said, I'll never forget your answer to me when I asked if you were going to do God talk. And I said, well, I forgot my answer. What did I say? And he said, well, you looked at me and said, you're hiring me to do this job. I may know how to do it better than you do. And if somebody needs to hear about God, then I'll probably share about God with them. But I'm not going to promote a church or religion, but I want to have the freedom to talk to people about their relationship with God. And he said, well, that's fine. And so I'm praying. I don't keep in touch with him, but I've had former players and coaches ring me up 20 years later and want to talk. So I'm praying that that guy will want to talk with me about God.
Awesome.
I really appreciate him. He gave me a chance.
Yeah, he did. And what a wonderful opportunity, too.
A risk.
Yeah.
But God was gracious, and I've seen a couple of those injured players come to Christ. So on the spiritual side, it was not only worthwhile but fulfilling.
Yeah.
I missed that, but you never know when somebody's going to come back and say, remember when you were the chaplain 15 years ago and you came to visit me in prison?
Yeah.
When I was there.
Well,
I'd like to talk more.
Yeah, you never know, do you?
Yeah.
But God builds on those seeds, and nothing goes to waste with God.
Nothing goes to waste. Nothing goes to waste.
Absolutely.
There was a lot of pastoral care involved in that as well. So just really genuinely caring for people in some of their darkest moments.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's like what you shared, it can be just a split second and their lives completely change.
Yeah, because
and
if they
to know that they have a hope and a future. And to be able to work through that particular moment is that must have been so fulfilling.
Yeah, it's crucial. When someone's got a spinal injury, like as you say, that is life-changing because, I mean, it's awful to say, but someone will leave you if they don't want to be with you if you've got a spinal injury. And that's, I know that's awful to say. But then, opposite, I guess there is the people that will stay by your side and support you through the whole thing. But it definitely needs a chaplain in those scenarios to come alongside and help them through that transition of being a player that can play to one that can't. So
yeah,
it was an interesting story too about one of the injured players I worked with was a Kiwi. He was 17 years old, and he shouldn't have been playing rugby. He was as skinny as a beanpole, and he had this big long neck, and had a spinal injury, which was totally, he was not total quad, but he was definitely immobilized.
Sure.
And I went up to provide some pastoral care for him, drove up to the Central Coast where he's playing for a junior club. And I didn't do a real good job on it, but I tried to share my faith with him. And I didn't think I was that successful, but I pray for him every day, still do. Daily, I pray for him. And the other day, I got a friend request on Facebook.
Oh, wow.
With this guy's name. And I said, well, it's kind of an unusual name. So I went to the Facebook, and there was a picture of him, you know, 25 years later. he's still, I don't think I would have recognized him because he's filled out quite a bit now. But he was doing a podcast from his car, doing a devotional.
Fantastic. Oh, wow. Praise God.
And, that is
and
awesome.
The topic was James 1.
Oh,
joy when you encounter various trials.
Trials, yeah, I know that very well.
And I was so encouraged by that podcast that I immediately messaged back and said, I'd love to hear the whole story sometime. And he sent right back just two lines and said, well, every time I tell my journey story, I mention the chaplain from Australian rugby who was the first one to ever talk to me about Jesus.
Oh, praise God.
So, yeah, praise God. I didn't think I'd had that much influence on him, but he's...
Oh, that's lovely.
I almost feel like someday... Well, next time we're in New Zealand, I'll probably try to look him up. But
yeah.
I'd love to hear the whole story.
Oh, yeah, it'd be amazing.
So, Jen, the second part to that question, if we loop back around to it, is there somewhere else that you and Gary are currently volunteering or working with in the community or perhaps another organization at the moment?
Yeah, so currently we're working with GAIN, which is Global Aid Network Australia. Sure. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a humanitarian aid a partner with Power to Change. So it's actually under Power to Change. And it's one of the strategies of Power to Change. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we are officially missionaries with Power to Change.
Okay.
Which used to be called Campus Crusade for Christ Australia, for those who might be more familiar with that.
Sure.
But then, so we work as missionaries with Power to Change, and then we, under that, we work with a strategy called GAIN, as I mentioned. So.
Okay. Awesome.
And so what does that look like?
So what do you guys do with GAIN? Yeah.
What are we doing? Well, GAIN has, I think there are about four different things where they really focus. And one is medical missions.
Mm-hmm.
The other is disaster relief, community development, and then water for life. So there are four main focuses that they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I think... We've done some things. I think Gary and I are really on more of the support services side of that.
Sure.
But Gary's also been on a medical mission, so having a bit more hands-on experience. So so we kind of, when we first started out with GAIN, we asked our director, you know, what do you think we can do? How do you think we can work with GAIN? And he said, well, one thing you could do is be ambassadors for GAIN. And, of course, that means just helping raise awareness mm-hmm. of GAIN in the community and with churches and things like that.
Yeah.
But then roles kind of developed the more that we were involved.
Mm-hmm.
And Gary and I currently are, again, back to coaching and mentoring.
Yep.
So we're both coaches with what they call a PDP or a personal development plan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to help the volunteers and the missionaries that work with GAIN to have kind of a yearly plan as to how they want to develop, like, personally, but also in their role with GAIN.
Okay.
So we just come alongside again.
Very nice.
People and just help them work through what that looks like for them in a year. And that's a relatively new role that we've taken on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
On the side, just help a little bit with administration. And then I did say Gary actually went on a medical mission. So maybe you can
Medical missions are short-term missions, mm-hmm. 10 days to 2 weeks. The missionaries pay their own way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not GAIN doesn't pay them to go. In fact, they have to raise additional money because along with themselves they take medicine to use on the mission, because we partner with local GAIN staff, and they provide doctors and venues and people, and we provide workers and medicine and some funding.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't quite what I expected when I went. I'd said, I don't know anything about medicine or dentistry or anything, so... How could they use me? Well, on a medical mission, we'll go into a local, in my case in the Philippines, a local barangay, which is a village. And the village gives us the use of their covered basketball court. So we have some protection.
Yep.
And we have the whole basketball court set up in 9 different stations. And basically, the people filter through those 9 different stations.
Okay.
And the third or fourth station is counseling,
yep.
and that's basically an opportunity to talk to people about their spiritual life. Mm. And everybody, you know, people are pretty much, I mean, they're there, they volunteered to come, and they're getting free medical care.
Yep.
So they're pretty much open to whatever you want to do or say. So we try not to take advantage of that. We ask their permission. But basically, I was just doing with, you know, 10, 15 people every day the same thing I would do if I were out on campus, which is talk to them about a relationship with God.
Oh, awesome.
And saw some great results. And didn't need to be a doctor or a dentist, but I realized what drew the people was their need medically.
Yep.
And we don't want to minimize that. And so we looked to our local Campus Crusade for Christ staff to find doctors and nurses and dentists in their home country mm-hmm. who will support the medical side of it for us. So they do the medical stations, and we do the others. So it's a beautiful partnership, and I told Jan and others, one of the things I enjoyed most about my experience with the medical mission was just seeing how important it was to work together with your partners and depend on them and have them depend on you. Mm-hmm. And you develop long-term relationships with these people. You're there together on the battlefield for 10 days, but then you're keeping in touch by Facebook and Zoom yep. meetings and stuff through the year.
Yeah,
and
cool.
then every year, you know, you could go back every year until COVID hits. But
I'm guessing that was before COVID then.
Right before. Right before
2019.
I got home from the Philippines the day they restricted all travel.
Oh, that's good. You got back just in time.
Oh, praise God to that.
That could have been a long extended stay.
And it wouldn't
and a lot more medical mission.
Wouldn't have been good for our partners because they would insisted to put us
you.
Up in houses.
Yeah,
and
yeah. For us and of course. Well, that was that would have been God's timing that you came back then, of course.
It was.
Yeah.
And I haven't been back. We just started the medical missions again this year.
Mm. Okay.
2 months ago.
Yep.
Back to the Philippines. And I really wanted to go, but because of some of my health issues, I decided it's not right for me to go back
yet.
But I can be an ambassador and encourage other people to go and invite people to go have the experience.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And you know, you mentioned about, you know, you don't have a medical background, but as you mentioned, you know, there's the physical, but then there's also the mental and spiritual well-being, which is so important.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
That physical stuff is very important too, yep. but so is that mental and spiritual well-being side.
Gain does take some medical people over with them to work with the doctors and nurses over there.
Yeah.
And they also partner with the churches.
Mm.
So it's a great partnership. So the churches really look after Gain leaves the site, or the workers here, then a lot of the follow-up work and things like that are done by local pastors and churches.
Oh,
well, that's
right.
Wonderful.
That's
so they can tap into their local community.
Yeah.
Exactly.
In fact, the pastors are part of our
they're part
volunteers
of the team.
National pastors are part of those stations. Mm-hmm. And if we have problems language-wise, they'll step in and assist with translations. So.
Mm.
I really like that partnership aspect of what we do.
Mm.
And I'm also interested in the disaster relief.
Mm-hmm.
My first ever Gain project was 20 years ago before we were on staff at Gain.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a tsunami in the Solomon Islands that killed 50 or 60 people on one island, Choiseul Island.
Mm.
Mm.
And it was considered a disaster for obviously for the village to lose that many of its people.
Yeah.
And we had, at the time, we not only provided medical missions, but we provided disaster relief. So we already had a container full of supplies and clothes and materials to send to the Solomons.
Mm. Mm.
So I went with that team. And that great some great experiences there, but I won't go into that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting. And those four key sort of areas that they provide the services through. And you've mentioned some international opportunities. And what does it look like in terms of national based things in Australia? Is there much happening around the country at this moment?
We're working on that. At the end of, about COVID time, we're figuring, what do we do now? We're not going to travel. So we were thinking of, what are some national projects we could have? And specifically thinking Aboriginal projects and South Pacific Islands. So we reached out to several island groups and to see if they were interested in having medical missions there.
Work with, there are other national offices with GAIN. Mm-hmm. So it's in about 10 countries.
Okay.
And so disaster relief, like for the Ukraine and that, we've done fundraising, but working with Germany and with Canada and some of the other national offices and really pooling
our resources
so we can so much more than what even GAIN Australia could do.
Yeah.
And so sometimes the disaster relief looks like pooling resources and raising funds and sending those resources so that then things like Germany can buy the resources and things like that that they need, and they're right there and deliver the things and be right there with the people. So it's the partnership is more than just partnering in one particular country, because we work with in areas that we work mostly in is India, Cambodia, and the Philippines. Now, that's our focus, but we want to broaden that to the South Pacific.
Well, that's Australia works in those.
That's Australia.
Other nations take up other countries.
Yeah,
with the Water for Life project that we've worked with, actually, Gamia helped sponsor Water for Life in one of their May mission months a couple of years ago, and we got really excited about that project because basically they will raise the funds to drill a deep water well. Yeah. In Africa, there's requests from all over. And the well can keep a whole village in fresh water for like 10 years. And
that's amazing.
Oh, that's so good.
Tremendous health.
Fantastic.
Benefits.
That's amazing.
But
clean local water, not having to walk for miles to try and get water. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, that's great that it does that.
And I heard somewhere that we kind of focused for some reason on, I think it was Benin, as an African country where we drill the wells. And because we've done it several thousand wells now, the government's asking us to come and do the wells. And it's just basically a matter of having the money to do it, because they'll hire local well diggers to dig the wells. And there's a great little clip on our website about four or five African workers drilling this well, and all of a sudden the water comes spurting out and running around.
Amazing.
Oh, that's so good.
It changes lives.
Yeah.
A place, you know, to have fresh water, like you said, where they don't have to walk long distances to get water.
So
can I just mention, though, part of the thing about working within Australia, there are some challenges there because there's a medical needs generally are pretty largely met by the government. So some of our challenges with working nationally is just finding the areas where we can have a good fit.
That they
want to do that. And like Gary said, they're looking into what are some possibilities. And we're looking for partners that we can work with in Australia who are doing works where GAIN can fit.
Okay,
so that's
great.
Just the future that we're looking at. So,
it's interesting too. We talked about earlier people from the past coming into your present, and when I was helping start things up at Sydney University, I had a Bible study with four doctors. one male and female got married, so it's really three units, but they all became successful doctors, and we maintained a relationship with them over the years. And I just found that one of them went to the mission field and married another missionary, and he's moved back to Australia. And I just on Facebook was reading that he's starting taking up a position with an Aboriginal community as a medical liaison in that outback community. So I'm thinking, well, that might be a way to tie into some national opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wonderful.
And it's, you know, we'll definitely be praying into opportunities for God to open doors and bring together those partnerships, you know, more national opportunities for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
And God never wastes your time and your energy and your efforts.
No, definitely not.
Campus ministry, one year I was asked to go up and do, because of my counseling background, to do some team building exercises with a team in Solomon Islands that was having a little bit of friction. And I did that happily. We had a good time. I believe it was a successful mission to them for a couple of weeks. But I developed a relationship with the national director. Yeah. So years down the line, 2 years ago, no, 10 years ago, he asked me if I'd help him build a house because he was getting married. And so I went to some people I knew in Texas and we raised some money to help him build his house and found out later with the dollar exchange, he practically built his house. Mm. And a couple years after that, I was visiting in Solomon's and I went to his house and saw him there with about 40 or 50 kids on the living room floor doing a kids' Bible study thing. And then 2 years ago, I got a message saying the retaining wall between our house and the next house next to us is collapsing, and the whole wall could fall down on our house.
Oh, no.
I said, send me some pictures. So he did, and I took it to our GAIN director. And I said, would we be able to help this guy, disaster relief? And he said, yeah, tell him it's coming. We'll decide later how to do it, but we'll raise some money later, but it's on the way. And I really respect that about our team leader. He just, in faith, he'll just say, yeah, tell him it's on the way, and we'll take care of it. So we rebuilt this retaining wall, and I've got pictures of that. So that's three different jobs that I was involved with that built the relationship with this national director in Solomon Islands.
Oh, that's wonderful.
He may be, we're talking about a South Pacific island as far as expansion, that may be one of the ones that we go to.
Yeah, wonderful.
And again, it's just, you know, something as simple as a retaining wall made that a safe space again for that person to be able to continue to outreach to their local community.
Yeah, that's right. All those kids being able to get into the Bible and learn about God and Jesus and, yeah, how good's that, eh?
Yeah.
Awesome.
We've got part of that job. Jan mentioned is raising support or helping to finance some of these projects if we're not able to go. Because we have an extensive network of people who want to help. They helped us for 20 or 30 years and are eager and even keen to help out. And it's a matter of just letting them know and for them to know what the opportunities are. And then I've got some relatives who are actually in the medical profession, and I'm planning to invite them to come along on a medical mission.
Yeah, wonderful.
Sometime in the future.
So if people wanted to find out more about GAIN, how, like, where would people go to find information?
I think a good place right off is just the GAIN website. And
which is?
GAIN.org.au.
Yeah.
We can put that in the show notes, guys, when you're listening, so you'll be able to look it up.
Yep.
Yep.
Fantastic. So if you're interested in finding out more about GAIN or possible partnership opportunities or even getting involved, becoming part of the GAIN team, you know, please do check out that information or feel free to reach out and have a chat with Jan and Gary.
That's all right. Have a chat to these guys.
We're looking for volunteers, and you don't have to be extremely skilled in anything.
Although we have a lot of skilled people.
However, if you're interested in DART,
of course,
which is Disaster and Relief Team, Emergency Relief Team, they've got a phenomenal program where I believe you have to pay to go to Finland to do the training, but they train you to be a DART responder, and then they put you on a list, and if there's a natural disaster anywhere in the world, they go through their list and they send out an email and say, are you able and willing to respond to this? And if you say yes, they pay your airfare from your home to the disaster so that you can be there within 24 hours.
That's amazing.
Wow, that is amazing.
So it's like phenomenal. SES on steroids.
And I think a lot of people, I'm interested in that.
And you're working with other trained, obviously, a team of trained people.
Yeah, responders. Yeah.
Responders, yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
That's fantastic.
And that's any kind of disaster, fire, flood, or anything that might come up, tsunami. Okay. Anything.
Aggression. national
Wonderful.
So I think Adam mentioned before, but I'd love to hear from you both, you know, all these amazing stories and where you've seen God at work and where God's been using you both, and you've just faithfully continued to step forward for him, be bold, be courageous, come alongside people throughout your lives. You know, how has your walk with God, how has that grown and changed over the years?
I think just the realization of how faithful God is through so many things and so many changes and changing countries and raising kids and, you know, that just comes home again and again. Mm. As you look back, you think, how did all that happen? And just his faithfulness, I think, just stays with you. And, you know, I like to think growing a bit deeper in, I think for Gary and I both, our prayer life, you know, because it's, that's certainly a need to kind of hang in there and be praying together. And, and so I think, you know, just that faithfulness, God's faithfulness, prayer, and also just the stability. Sounds maybe funny to say that, but just being there and being stable and faithful through all that time, you know, is what enables you, I think, through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Which was one of the life lessons for me earlier in my Christian life, was understanding about the power of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, was something that really set my life on the right track as a Christian. So those are things that have stayed with me.
Wonderful. What about you, Gary?
Forgot the question. Oh, things that have helped your spiritual
life. Yeah, and how have you seen yourself sort of change and grow over the years with your walk with God?
Well, I mentioned before I'm interested in personal development, human development. One of the courses I took at seminary or when I got my degree in biblical counseling was human development. And I was intrigued by that whole concept. It was one of my favorite textbooks on human development, just how we change over the years. And probably 15 years ago now, I had an opportunity to go to John Eldridge Boot Camp, which was down in Wollongong or in
I remember those.
Stanwell Tops.
I had a couple of those.
And that was life-changing.
Oh, they're amazing,
And simple stuff. I mean, there was nothing new. I came back and told Carl, who was a pastor at the time, that I think I've had a deep theological change. And he said, well, yeah, what's that? And I told him, he said, well, that's just, that's standard Christianity. What's so? I said, yeah, but it was different for me. I see it differently now. And one of the things that Eldridge promoted was a daily prayer. And so much so that he gave us a CD with the daily prayer on it. And I still have the CD, and I started praying it daily. And I still do every day. And after doing that for a couple of years consistently, I began to realize most of this prayer is for me. What about intercessory prayer? So I said, in my daily prayer devotional time, I want to have the daily prayer and I want to have intercessory prayer. So I started writing a list of people that I wanted to pray for. And I still have that list, and I have people on that list I pray for daily that I have for 15 or 20 years daily.
Wonderful.
And that's changed me, I think. And Jan picked up on that and encouraged. I was kind of slack on family. We had family devotions when the kids were younger, but, you know, we could have done better. I could have done better. And so Jan said, well, why don't we pray for our kids and our family once a week? Set aside time once a week, which we've been doing now for probably a couple of years now. A lot of times it's the same prayer, but that's been enriching, and we prayed this morning for the family. So I'd say prayer, John Eldridge Conference, boot camp, my personal devotional life. I was having a devotional life every day, but not necessarily having a prayer component. So so I'd have to say the devotional life was the kickoff for everything. And then a prayer time, consistent prayer time.
What is, for someone who might be listening in and going, what is devotional? What is that? What does that mean?
Oh, time devoted to getting to know God better, of for me, that's taken a whole range of things because I've been doing it for 25, 30 years. Sometimes it's just reading, like right now, well, no, 2 years ago, I decided I wanted to, somebody challenged me on what's a Christian worldview. And I said, well, I'd like to develop a Christian worldview that's biblical. So this year, I'm going to read through the Bible, hopefully all the way through, but I'll keep reading until I've gone all the way through. I've got six different colored pencils here. And every time I come to a characteristic of God that's revealed in that particular verse, I'll color that verse. And so I finished that about 2 years ago, and I realized this would be a better tool if they were all put together and I had someplace where every one of the verses that talked about a character quality of God was in the same book. So my quiet time last year and continuing into this year, devotional time, is to just write out those verses that I've already colored, write them out in my daily diary. And so I'm only into Psalm 77 now, and so it'll probably take me the rest of the year to finish that. But and then I go to the next characteristics. So I eventually write a book. But
that'd be amazing. Yeah. I'd read that. Yeah.
Jan's writing a book right now. So for the kids, your story time.
Oh, well, that's something else.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
No, it's just it's just something that the kids gave me to write out my own story.
I love that.
To be able to give that to your children later on.
Yeah, that's nice. Just,
and there are questions each week that you answer, and it eventually becomes a book.
I love that. So that'll be so beautiful to share with your family.
Yeah.
Really good.
Amazing.
Well, and I think they can even have the kids can ask questions. Our kids can ask a question.
What question?
She can respond to that question and will be in that.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. Really personalized.
Yeah.
That's so good. Well, thanks so much, guys, for coming on. Really appreciate learning all about GAIN and about your lives leading up to GAIN and after and continuing through what's going to come up as well into the future. So thanks so much for coming on. It's been a real pleasure to have you on the We're the Church podcast.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
And we'll see you around GBC. Thanks for listening to the We Are the Church podcast. We hope this inspired and encouraged you on your own journey of discovery and faith. If you or anyone you know has a faith story to share, please get in touch with us.
You can reach us at office@guymebaptist.org.au. Also, if you would like to know more about Jesus, pray with someone, or come along to Guymer Baptist Church, please check out the Guymer Baptist Church website at guymebaptist.org.au.
Until next time, I'm Adam.
And this is Brianna saying, God bless and peace be with you.